The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
It's International Dog Day, and we thought, who better to talk to than the owner of two of the most famous dogs in the world, they being Olive and Mabel, and the owner is sports commentator Andrew Cotter. Andrew, how are you?
I'm all right, Anton. How are you?
I'm very good. For the very few who might be unfamiliar, can you walk us through the progression from anonymity to fame of Olive and Mabel?
Yes, I can dog walk you through all of that. I mean, it was last year during all of the madness. I mean, I think it started at the end of March. All the sporting events. I'm a sports broadcaster, and do most of my work with the BBC and various sports. But all those sports disappeared at that time in March, and so I, being a sort of inveterate show-off, decided to put out a tweet whereby I was commentating on the dogs eating breakfast, and that kind of took off. And by took off, I mean more than 10 million people watched it. And then the next, I eventually put out another one, which over 20 million people watched, where they were just fighting over a bone, and I was commentating on it. And then I took it on and did various things. I moved it sort of on from commentary to actually having little sketches with them, where I was talking to them in bizarre situations. Well, bizarre for dogs, but normal for humans, online dating or playing poker or building flat pack furniture and all these things. And that's the way of the world now, isn't it? Just anything goes.
Had you any conception when you did it at the start that it was likely to get traction, regardless, not necessarily 10 million traction?
No,
but you think this
will
work?
I thought it was mildly amusing, and that some of my more polite friends might say, it's good, well done you. Are you bored, Andrew? No, I had no idea it would take off like that, but you could see within minutes. I mean, I would say even less than within minutes, you could see it was astonishing. And then the second one as well, as I say, was even more so. But each one of the early videos was getting millions watching. But I mean, I still put out something. I put out something during the Olympics, and I think about 700,000 people watched that on Twitter. So it's gone on and on and on, and I haven't made it a sort of alternative career. I mean, it so happened that has developed that way, but I don't think of it that way. I think of it, if I can think of a nice idea involving these two soft-headed furry idiots who are lying alongside me at the moment, then I'll put it out. So it's a bit of fun, a bit of a distraction, and that's kind of what I think we've all been looking for a bit over the last, how long now? I don't know, lifetime.
Oh, it's
now.
7.5 years, I believe, at this point.
Exactly.
I'm very intrigued, though, by what it must feel like to see something in the literal sense go viral as you watch, to begin to realize that this is huge.
Well, it is, and it's all the things. Oh, it's strange. It's slightly daunting. It's addictive as well, because you see this thing and you go, oh, look, I've made this thing, and all these people are watching it. So there's a certain element of satisfaction. There's no doubt about that. But you do become slightly addicted to that. And that's why I kept on doing the videos. But it was to sort of partly to feed my own addiction for doing it, but also because I think more than anything else, it was because of the reaction that was coming back. In that people who, we were all going through this, and we're all having pretty, well, not all of us, but a lot of us are having a pretty miserable time of things, and the world is not particularly enjoyable. So suddenly to be able to just look at something for a short period of time that makes you laugh, that takes you into the deeply untroubled world of dogs, then that's a good thing. So when I was getting all the reaction, and it has been astonishing, part of it's feeding you, but part of it is also making you think, right, I'm going to keep on doing this, because why do people who try and make people laugh, why do they do it? They do it because they enjoy that reaction for themselves, but they also know that they're making people happy. You can tell I've been locked up for a long time overanalyzing things, but that is what it is. You think, well, if we're making people laugh, then not much better than that.
I like your phrase, the deeply untroubled world of dogs, because you wrote a piece, I think you broke down 6 or 8 sort of general rules of life to be taken from the observation of dogs. And one of them was, I think it was number 4, is live in the moment. Yeah. And it's one of the remarkable things about a dog. A dog can go to sleep with 4 legs and wake up with 3, glance down and say, oh, 3 legs now.
Yeah, exactly. All right, okay. So yeah. I'm just going to hop off down, wagging my tail. It's, you know, it would be great to be, in many ways it would be great to have the mind of a dog. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of the amazing things we do, but we also wouldn't have all the sort of troubling thoughts that we have. So you just get on with things. And you know, it's when you see dogs in their dotage as well, and they're sort of hobbling along, and they're not the puppy they once were, but they're quite, you know, they're not in physical pain, they're quite happy mentally, because it's just what they have at the moment to deal with. And we get sad on their behalf, you know, oh, look, old, can't walk, but they're quite happy just pottering around. So yeah, it would be nice, but I think for us to live as dogs, we would have to have you know, frontal lobotomy or something like that. I'm not
true,
sure.
And
I'm
the
not
lack
advocating
of
that.
The honestly. Lack of opposable thumbs would become irksome as time went on, Andrew.
Yeah,
let's
no,
be clear.
But we'd be happy. We wouldn't be able to open cans, but we'd be very happy if we weren't able to open
them. As we all starved to death,
yeah, exactly.
Mutually. So tell us a little bit about Olive and Mabel.
They are dogs. They are.
Thank you. Let's start with the basics.
They're Labradors. Olive's black Labrador. Mabel's a yellow Labrador, which is essentially the same creature. It's just, I mean, if you don't know that I mean, Mabel, the yellow Labrador, came from a litter of 12 puppies, 4 of whom are yellow, 8 of whom are black. Both parents are black Labradors. So it doesn't really, you know, it's just a lottery as to which one comes out. I think it depends on the recessive gene. I'm going a little bit too deep here into Labrador physiology.
Yes, but, it was quite the switch from the basics of they are a dog to the
dog. No,
genetic precursors to their coloring.
So they do have different characteristics. There's no doubt about that. Olive is slightly more sanguine and a little bit more calm, and has always been a bit more mature than Mabel. Mabel's 4.5 now, Olive's 8.5. And at 4.5, Mabel has the mind of a 10-week-old. She is just forever astonished and excited at the world. And again, that's the attitude we should have, just in general astonishment and excitement at the world, and everything's amazing. But no, they have different personalities, which I love.
And
having said that,
you,
Mabel is at my feet at the moment, absolutely fast asleep, so she's quite relaxed just now.
That is one of the great feelings in life, having a dog gently snore on top of your feet. There's
gently
little
snoring,
that can
beat just
it.
Those slits for eyes, because you just know that creature is entirely at peace. As I try and write more words and just get more and more stressed with life. So
yeah, and then you get into your nice zen moment, and they wake themselves up with their own flatulence, and some of the romance comes out
exactly.
of the experience.
Oh, I see. Well done. Welcome to the world of dogs.
Have you long been a dog lover, or is Mabel and Olive the first?
No, long been a dog lover. I mean, they were within family growing up. I mean, any number of dogs. So I think, you know, when you're young and dogs are around you, you become quite used to them, and you're certainly not one of these children that's very wary and scared of dogs, and perhaps grows into an adult who's a bit wary and around dogs. So always have had dogs of different creeds and colours and sizes and shapes. And so, yeah, very fond of dogs. Actually, I was about to say I'm very fond of dogs. I am, and we had smaller dogs growing up, but my tendency would be towards the sort of bigger dogs now. Labradors are fairly sizable. Bull Mastiffs I'm very, very fond of. So,
Bull Mastiffs, that's a fair
commitment.
Yeah, but
the sad thing, well, it is. And also, big dogs live shorter lives, which is sad, because just when you're, you know, when you're so attached to them, they trot off into the sky. So it's they don't trot off into the sky. That's nonsense. It's people say they go off over the Rainbow Bridge. Well, no, they died, I'm afraid. Yeah, but we become so attached to them, and they just don't live long enough. I mean, Bull Mastiffs will be 9, 10, 11 years old or so, which is, you know, that's the great sadness about dogs, is you become so attached to them, and you become so not dependent on them, but it's almost a dependency, because you're so strongly linked and connected to them. And then they take their leave. So but you wouldn't swap any of that sort of pain at the end for the love and the joy that you've had for however many years it might be.
Yeah, my golden retriever died at Christmas after about 12 years. And the other day I put on a coat that I hadn't put on for a long time. And because he shed it at just an extraordinary, like a professional level, I put my hand in the pocket and it was full of shedded hairs. And you get this sudden pang that you wouldn't think you would miss an animal in the way that you do a person.
And then that pang is replaced by, can I get to a cloning studio and use this for somehow to...
Come here, go back for a moment.
The same dog.
You talked about liking the larger dog. What's your base level on the size scale? Do you cut off at, let's say, a Cocker Spaniel?
No, actually, you know, it's not a size thing because I love Staffordshire Bull Terriers. I love, and they're quite small dogs, but they are just wonderful dogs. I mean, quite often they're sort of, they end up as the ill-treated dogs. They're the ones that you find most of all in shelters and homes because they've been abandoned and or been treated pretty cruelly. But I don't know. It's not. I suppose it's more about the sort of attitude of the dogs. Although I do like, there's something about large dogs and their sort of. I think I've described it as a sort of bovine nature, just this giant staring, not really comprehending the world, but full of just gentle kindness.
And when they lean on you, when a big dog comes over and leans on you,
and lean, and they think, well, it might not mean that much, but it means a lot to us because they just sort of, yeah, you're my human, and I'm just going to lean gently upon you. They might actually just be sort of tired, and they're looking, treating you as a lamppost.
Don't go cynical, Andrew. It is admiration and mutual respect being expressed in the form of a lean.
It's funny though, because the dog world. To which I've seen a huge amount in the last 16 months. It can tend sometimes towards the slightly saccharine and the slightly we read too much into it and we anthropomorphize the dogs and you know we might be getting it all entirely wrong. But after having said all that, there is a real connection between humans and dogs. There's no doubt about that. And even if we're slightly misinterpreting what they're thinking sometimes, I think a lot of the time we're getting it right in terms of just how much they love us and need us, obviously, to feed them, but that we need them a huge amount as well.
Well, text saying, Andrew, what a lovely text on International Dog Day. Big thank you to Andrew Cotter. Text goes on. And a big up to all dogs. We have three. One adopted and they bring so much joy to the kids. Another, Andrew, with all the dog talk, can we remind people if they are getting them to adopt? We've got a lovely greyhound who has been such a great addition to the family. And a big thanks to Andrew Cotter there for joining us, who is, of course, the owner of Olive and Mabel to celebrate International Dog Day.